This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
One goal at a time. Brought to you by UOB.
It is 7:10 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're now looking at efforts to change the way that we make, use and dispose of plastics. We often hear of the complaints of the impact of single-use plastics on the environment. But in the mix of that, we're also hearing about Malaysia's roadmap towards zero single-use plastics. We're also hearing talk of a circular economy. So all of that is what we want to unpack in this segment. We'd like to hear from you. Do you reuse your plastics? You can weigh in. And in the meantime, we're crossing over to Wee Cheng Yun, Chairman of the Malaysian Plastics Manufacturers Association Sustainability Subcommittee. Welcome to the show. So there has been a tremendous focus on single-use plastics and the manufacturing of plastics and how that impacts our environment. What can you tell us about this? I mean, what relationship does plastic have to climate change?
Now, plastics is an invention that has totally changed our lifestyle. It has brought us convenience and safety, as we see it in the most recent pandemic. Yeah. So plastics as a material, it is a tough material and yet it is flexible. It is strong and yet it is lightweight. It can carry many times more than its own weight. So plastics is a wonderful material, but it's the end of usage. That is why we have this term called single-use plastics. The problem with single-use plastics at this moment is the littering issue. If you look at it that way, we also have single use of other materials like metals and paper, right? So at the end of the day, when we look at single plastics and it's polluting our environment, we have to focus on why it is in the environment, right? So it is the mismanagement of the plastics that has created this, whether it's irresponsible human behavior or ineffective waste collection that has caused this plastic waste into the environment. So this is where plastics impacts the environment. It's the waste of the plastics that we have to manage.
So talk to us about the MPMA Sustainability Subcommittee. What is the main objective here and what are some initiatives that you've pushed through?
Our sustainability subcommittee was established in 2017. And main objective is to drive the plastics economy, plastics industries in Malaysia towards a circular economy. So we advocate new plastics economy initiatives. We bring our key stakeholders together to rethink and redesign the future of plastics. So currently, we are focusing on engaging with the government, especially on issues related to United Nations Environment Assembly, UNEA 5, which is in discussion, and also the soon-to-be-launched Malaysia Plastic Sustainability Roadmap by our Ministry of Environment and Water. We are also actively pursuing collaboration opportunities with stakeholders of the plastic industries or like-minded organizations. Create this awareness of plastic sustainability.
So we often hear the term circular economy or new plastic economy. Can you tell us what that covers?
Concept of the circular economy has been discussed since 1970s, but it really took the attention of everybody after Ellen MacArthur Foundation come out with this circular economy concept. I guess they reinforced the circular economy concept and the new plastics economy. Yeah, so the new plastics economy by Ellen MacArthur Foundation is now the guiding light. The guiding light that outlines a global vision for plastics to never become waste. The three actions that is clearly outlined are, number one, eliminate all problematic and unnecessary plastic items. And then two, we want to innovate to ensure that the plastics we do need are reusable or recyclable or compostable. And lastly, we want to circulate all the plastic items that we use to keep them in the system instead of out in the environment. So in simpler terms, efforts should be made to retain plastics in the supply chain because, like I said, it's a very useful material. It's the most useful material and most economic material.
And what does that look like in a real-life industry setting? Could you give us an example?
Oh, the industry setting right now, because you have to understand that we have three main stakeholders in the plastic industries. We have the resin producer, we have the plastics manufacturers, and then, of course, we have the end customers, our brand owners, our customers that buy this packaging material to pack their product and then put it into the market. So in the whole industry, these three will work as one, where in order to pack the products in a more sustainable plastics packaging, it has to come from the plastics raw material makers. We call it the resin suppliers. Yeah. So over the years, they have been very aggressively coming out with raw materials that is more suitable for sustainable use. For example, material that has been manufactured using recycled consumer waste instead of producing more material using fossil fuel. So these are the things that is in line with Ellen MacArthur's new plastics economy aspiration. And of course, the plastic producers are also doing whatever they can to advise the brand owners on this switch to more sustainable plastics to support the circular economy of the new plastics. And the brand owners, you can see some are already in the market. There's a lot of our Malaysian favorite noodles that is being packed in recyclable packaging right now. So moving forward in a space of 1 or 2 years, I foresee that more and more packaging in plastics will be recyclable. So we are all moving towards getting ready to recycle back our plastics.
So you mentioned the stakeholders earlier. What kinds of engagement have actually happened with them? Can you give us some insight into how these conversations have been going?
The brand owners, for example, are doing on a volunteer basis. They are embarking on an extended producer responsibility to drive innovation, to drive up the collection of plastics after being used. Our raw material suppliers, they are coming up with more sustainable raw material, whether it's a bio-based or a renewable source. So, and investing in end-of-life treatment, such as the chemical recycling, which is the most advanced recycling technology at this moment. So, and plastic producers, okay, so we are combining the demand from the brand owners and the supply ability of the resin, the plastic raw material, to churn out a plastic packaging or a plastic article that is sustainable, that meets the criteria of the new plastics economy, which I stated earlier, the three requirements. So the recyclers are also exploring new recycling technologies to make sure that the quality of the recycling will bump up. Yeah. So because we are right now asking for recyclates with a better quality so we can produce the things that we produce again, but using a recycled material. And the biggest part of all this equation are actually the consumers like you and me. We need to link, we need to finish this circle by separating plastics for recycling. And I would say that it's not just separating plastics, it's separating all recyclable materials, be it plastics, paper, metal, anything that can be recycled should be separated from our waste bin, kept clean, and then returned back to a recycler.
So specifically, talk to us about the engagement that the MPMA has been building with the government and what policies you'd like to see in this area.
We are engaging closely with Ministry of Environment and Water, the Malaysia Plastic Sustainability Roadmap. We are also very much involved in UNIA, in EPR, in the halal recycled polyester, one of the material that is used for soft drinks bottles production. And we are also very much involved with Ministry of Housing and Local Government, KPKT, mainly on what I emphasized just now, separation at source, recycling, and extended producer responsibility.
In line with that then, what initiatives are the MPMA putting forward when it comes to consumer education?
We have our awareness program, and especially with students, through workshops, competitions, recyclables, recyclables collection, and providing waste infrastructure even to schools to enable them to kick off a waste separation program in school. And hopefully the children will carry that to their home, the practice to their home. So one huge achievement would be the development of the plastics management module in 2019. The plastics sustainability and you module in collaboration with Pusat STEM Negara under Ministry of Education, Petronas Chemicals Group and SW Corp Malaysia. That is now available in all primary and secondary schools nationwide. The industry is actively conducting programs to drive the usage of the module in order to educate teachers and students on plastic sustainability. Another one of our signature program is currently held for the sixth year consecutively in Malacca, targeting primary and secondary school children. The program has evolved and expanded to not only focus on the school community, but surrounding households and communities, to instill the responsibility of managing plastics or managing waste in their daily lives. Yeah. And we also have a recycling truck that we will be using when the pandemic is over. The truck is fitted with simple and small-scale recycling to demonstrate to the public that once they have separated the waste, it is being used and recycled in this way, and they can understand that their effort is worth what they are doing. Yeah.
So you've mentioned this a number of times already, but to close off, how would you sum up the role that consumers play when it comes to contributing to sustainability in the usage of plastics?
Well, consumers are playing one of the biggest roles. Simple, everyday life action will go a long way. So what we always preach is you buy what you need, not what you want. Yeah, a measure to reduce the consumption of materials, not just plastics. So most important, practice waste separation at source for all materials, not only plastics. Yeah. Anything that can be recycled, because it has been made to be recycled. So as a consumer, we are the last person who is in contact with the material. Whether the material will be recycled or will end up in the landfill will depend on our action at that moment when we discard. Yeah. So either you discard it in your recycle bin or you discard it in your organic bin that goes to the landfill. The choice is in our hand. So we really hope that the consumers can support us to recycle everything that can be recycled, not only plastics, everything. Yeah, including paper, including metal.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. That was Wee Ching Yun, Chairman of the Malaysian Plastics Manufacturers Association Sustainability Subcommittee, talking to us about the new plastic economy and some ways to combat single-use plastics. And a lot of it, I think, she was talking about, kind of focus on consumer behavior. So we've been asking you, do you reuse your plastics and how so? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have a couple of messages.
Well, Kamaran Hizan just says, using single-use plastic twice doesn't really help much, I guess. There must be a better way for these single-use plastics. And yes, I mean, I think there are options now, for instance, to just not use single-use plastic items. But I do understand, though, that there are circumstances or situations where it's very difficult to transition out.
I agree. But I did also, I'm sorry not to be a pedant, but I don't think we should be using single-use plastic twice. I think the main thing here is actually, and not even thrice, I don't even know what the number is after that, but the point is that we should be using them over and over and over again, because I think that while to a degree, especially in this age of tapau and in the last couple of years, they've become a little bit of a necessary evil, especially if you've been ordering things in, if you know, things like that. Now that you have them, I think the purpose is to use them as many times as possible, even to consider repairing, which I think for many of us kind of doesn't even factor in. But not just food, planter boxes, you know, just all these different ways in which we could be thinking about using and reusing plastics.
I think one thing that bothers me is when, especially when it comes to food packaging, since you mentioned takeaways, when businesses use things that actively cannot be reused, excessive wrapping of products. I get it. I get that transporting food is a tricky business. But I think if this is in the long term, there are choices and options that you can take that necessitate that.
They've also started poking holes in the tops so that things stay crispy.
So not even single use, barely one use. We have Natasha saying, plastic is pretty great. We owe plastics quite a bit, but we are bad at managing waste and terrible at learning or practicing how to reuse and repurpose plastic materials and containers. We should come up with an initiative or tax exemption of sorts to promote less plastic consumption. It's got to be substantial, lah. Giving 50 cents or $1 discount for BYO is not sexy enough to encourage people.
Yeah, there's quite a lot in there. And I think that the tax initiative should also consider businesses, since that's what we're talking about, right? To encourage them to transition away from plastics and to stop punching holes in the top. Like, if I want to do that, I will do that. Anyway, keep those thoughts coming. You can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have been talking today about the circular economy when it comes to plastics and sustainability. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
One Goal at a Time was brought to you by UOB, building sustainable smart cities.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.